Hey there, welcome back to the Startup Screen Printing Podcast. My name is Jesse. I have a really exciting episode for everyone today. I had the privilege of sitting down recently with a guy named Dustin Lee. Dustin is the founder of a website called Retro Supply Co. And if you've spent any time as a graphic designer or looking for graphic designer resources online, then you likely have come across this site. He's been running it for, I think, about the last 12 years, and it is his full-time thing. It's fantastic site, lots of great resources, brushes and vector packs and things like that. So be sure you check out retrosupplyco.com after you listen to this episode and buy from Dustin. Like I said, there's some great tools for designers on there that it's just really neat stuff. And Dustin will talk about that a little bit in this episode. But we talk about startups and business and passive income and marketing and social media, just kind of a lot of different things from the perspective of a small business owner. And there's a little bit of a nugget of opportunity for a niche for screen printers that you can listen for. So great interview with Dustin. I hope you enjoy it. Please go check out his website, retrosupplyco.com. Buy some graphics and templates and vectors and stuff from there, because they're just really high quality stuff. So I think you'll really enjoy this interview. I certainly really enjoy talking to Dustin. Hope to have him on again in the future. But yeah, let's jump into the episode right now. All right, so here with Dustin Lee of Retro Supply Co. And I think you've got a few other things probably in your repertoire, but that was the big one that you pointed out to me. So Dustin's going to talk about his experience with design and his website that I mentioned, and we're just going to have a chat and see, his insight, how that can relate to the screen print industry and help those of you listening. So excited to meet Dustin. I've never actually talked to him before, so this is first time meeting, and I'm excited to have him on. So Dustin, first of all, thank you for your willingness to join us. And second of all, why don't you give a bit of an introduction and tell us who you are?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's great to meet you. So I own a company called Retro Supply Co. We create analog-inspired tools for designers and creatives. That includes like brushes, textures, fonts, courses. We have some ebooks, a variety of different things like that. Anything that, if you love like nostalgia and analog printing methods and things like that, you'll find it on our site. We've been in business for 12 years now. It started as a way to make diaper money, essentially. And I literally thought it was just going to be diaper money. And it grew to be a full-time business. Have 3 kids now. Bought a home with it. Wow. Pay for the karate lessons and the soccer and all the stuff with it. So yeah,
that's really cool. What were you doing before that kind of launched?
I was a graphic designer for quite a few years. Well, I started in the banking industry. Let me back up even more. I went to an art school for high school. Loved art. At some point I was about to go to Berklee College of Music to like try to be a John Mayer type person or something like that. And then I got cold feet and thought, I'm going to be like $100,000 in debt from going to Berklee. I'm going to be really good at playing guitar, and musicians don't make very much money. And that made me decide to go get a business degree. And I thought, well, while I'm getting a business degree, what's the best job to be in? Well, banking. That seems really businessy. People wear suits. So I started working in a bank and I hated it. Fast forward 5 years of working in a bank and I'm about to get married. And I said, I can't be in this job for the rest of my life. I really want to be a graphic designer. So I need to quit that now right before we get married. So my wife was understanding enough to let me quit. I went back to school, studied graphic design, and I kind of went on this path of I was reading the 4-Hour Work Week, if you remember that book, so just imagine I'm thinking to myself of trying to make a passive income. I'm thinking 4-Hour Work Weeks. I'm thinking blogging and Tim Ferriss. I'm also doing graphic design. And I ended up focusing on the graphic design. And then I got a job working for a blogger that I love named Jonathan Mead, who made a couple of businesses, one called Illuminated Mind, another one called Paid to Exist. And I was doing design work for him. And then I moved down to the Bay Area and we decided to make a little startup together called Playbook that was essentially marketing playbooks of marketing things to market things. And at that same time, I found out that a child was on the way, my first daughter. And dude, they say that men, like, they really grow up really fast when the kid's on the way. And my life changed. I mean, I was, you know, drinking, you know, a six pack of beer, three or four nights a week. I was a smoker. I couldn't get anything going fully. And overnight, I mean, I started waking up early to work on this business that I called Retro Supply and quit drinking, quit smoking. And by the time that little girl was born, we paid off our debt and it was on its way.
Yeah, that's really neat. I can totally relate with the change. It really does change everything with that perspective change of like, whoa, it's not just about me anymore.
Right. And hence the diaper money, you know, like I was just trying to save face because the business that I had was only covering itself. Basically, I was making next to nothing. Yeah. And I just wanted to save face and be able to say I was trying everything I could for my daughter. And turned out like that motivation just, it went a lot farther than diaper money.
That's really neat. And so you said this has been 12 years now?
Yep, 12 years.
So tell us about Retro Supply Co. What is it? What do you provide for designers that you mentioned, you know, the retro, the obviously in the name, the nostalgic feel. I've looked at a lot of the designs. In fact, I was aware of Retro Supply Co. just from being a designer, and I've run across it years ago. I remember seeing it. So I've always been attracted to the aesthetic that you have there. But tell us what it is that you provide to designers and what the intention is there.
I think when I started it, and I really think to this day, what we were really trying to provide was I kept going to places like, how long have you been in the screen printing or design industry?
Well, I just turned 40 last year and my dad got me into design when I was 14. So I was Photoshop one. So like, you know, since I was a kid, so plenty of time there. I got into screen printing as a designer, running the art department for a print shop in 2013.
Okay. So then you remember the good old days of Dribbble when Dribbble was just people putting great artwork up. There wasn't like digital products for sale everywhere. There wasn't like all these confusing, weird things happening to your feed.
Yeah.
You know, remember like the good old days of Dribbble?
Yeah, back when it was what it was intended to be.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I was spending a lot of time on there, way more time. And I remember just going through Dribbble and you would see things like some amazing texture on something or some sort of off, you know, registration error effect or ink bleed effect. These were all over the place and they still are today. Mm-hmm. And you would go leave a comment and everyone would be like, your work rocks. And then the artist would be like, thanks, man. And then there'd be a bunch of comments like that. And then someone would be like, how'd you get that registration error? And then there wouldn't be a response to that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they were keeping secrets. And when I was a kid, I loved magic. And like, I loved seeing how magic tricks worked. Right. Yeah. So I felt like, well, I'm going to figure these things out. If no one's going to share it, I'm just going to figure it out. And then I'm going to share it. So really what we are in the business of doing is getting those kind of effects that designers and artists see in work. And they're like, how do I get that look? It's driving me bananas, and helping them to achieve that.
Very cool. So this is not only the products that are already set up to be that, but you mentioned courses too. So you're also teaching designers how to, hey, you can go buy it from me, but you can also, here's how I do it. And here's how we've created it. So you're teaching them how to do it at the same time.
A little bit. That's a good idea. I mean, we should be doing more of that, like teaching how to do the things manually. And we do in the sense that if you buy a product from us, a lot of times, not only will we give you the assets to do it, but we'll also be like, here's how we made it. And we teach them how to do it in case they don't want to be restricted by the assets that we provided or they have a certain preference. Yeah. But a lot of our courses right now are, some of them are on techniques for using the products, We have a course that's about to come out that's about branding by Von Glitschka, who's a prolific vector artist and branding expert. We also have some cool things, like we have something called the Lettering Library that's like $15,000 worth of rare lettering books that are in PDF format. They're all public domain old books, and my friend Jason Karn is a collector of these old books. He spent a ton of money on them, and one day he was like, hey, maybe I can make some money back on all of this money I spent on all these rare books. Yeah. So that's like, we have interesting things like that as well.
Okay. So the idea of it being, you know, these errors in process that you recreate, it seems like a very narrow specific niche. And, you know, you always hear the adage that the riches are in the niches. And have you been tempted to branch out from that at all?
No, I haven't. And really for the reason you just said, like when I tell people that aren't in the graphic design business or a related business, I think when they'll say, what are you doing? I'll say, I sell software, I call it. I don't know how to describe it to, you know, my dentist or something. I'll be like, I sell software to people that want to get like the looks of retro looks in their design. And I think everyone, you know, they'll come to your house or see that you are somehow living and providing for yourself and be like, there's a market to sell halftones to people. And yeah, there is. There's no need to branch out into other things. If I did, I would make different sites for it. But the riches really are in the niches. And I think that probably applies to things like screen printing as well.
That's the exact answer I was hoping you would give, because my point is that my audience is not just learning how to screen print, but they're starting a business around this. And the temptation with screen printers is, well, this company that is in a totally separate industry and this individual that is in the complete opposite, both want apparel, or this one wants embroidery and this one wants screen printing and this one wants heat press, and I should serve them all because I create apparel. And I actually don't believe that is true. I think there is a lot of value in saying, you know what, I print for bands, or I print this aesthetic, even to the extent of I print retro designs, you know? And so I'm trying to encourage people to, hey, it's okay to not be a, you know, one size fits all supplier for everybody that needs apparel. You could be really good at doing one type, and that's okay. For me, it's been water-based ink, and I could serve a lot more people if I could lower my prices and print cheap Plastisol, but I don't want to. I prefer to do brands and things that appreciate the soft value, the soft touch and the added value of the water-based ink. So it's really cool that that's been the case for you as well, that your experience has been that really zeroing in and being really good at this thing and not being tempted to go outside of that has served you well.
Well, and I think you're 100% right. Even with screen printers, I mean, I've worked with a lot of screen printers. We've had partners that, for instance, there's one called Hey Monkey Design, where we have a screen printer's kit where he essentially packaged up all sorts of different assets that he uses for screen printing, and we sell them. But from working with different screen printers, the ones that I work with don't tend to be the ones that offer all those things, because I think you're 100% right. If someone offers printing for soccer teams and sports teams, and then they also offer concert posters, and then they also offer, I don't know, whatever other thing, it makes you nervous. It comes across to me as a little bit desperate. It makes me feel like they cannot excel at one thing. So they need to just basically say, anything that you'll give us money for, we'll do. So for instance, like if right now I would really love to find a new company that will screen print shirts for me, and then will actually also fulfill them. And there are some places, right, where they just do merch for people and then they'll fulfill and send it out when the orders come into them. I would easily go for the people that say, that's all we do. We do that for like small and medium sized brands that want beautiful, soft shirts. We're going to package it up beautifully for you. We really care about making it feel like handmade and hand sent for you. And that's all we do. If you're a soccer team, this is not a good fit. Don't call us. We don't do that. That brings so much confidence, because you're like, you're an expert.
Yep. Yeah. That's a great point. And those of you listening, great idea. There's a market for people who are looking for, you know, because what you're facing is the print on demand stuff. You know, that's the other option, is to say, well, in order to get someone else to ship it out for me, whenever an order comes in, I have to be willing to sacrifice on the print quality and use something like direct to garment or a direct to film. And, you know, a brand like yourself doesn't want to sacrifice on the quality, but at the same time, you also don't want to become a fulfillment or a warehouse place. And so you would be willing to pay somebody up front to print it and then also to house it and ship it out. And that way it's out of your mind, but you still have the quality that fits your brand.
Right. Absolutely. Because like when you're a business, you know, my size, you don't have enough orders of that type, for instance, to hire someone to pack stuff up. And it's just not a smart use of my time to spend an hour every day packing up shirts and then driving over to the post office and sending them off. So to have someone that's like, hey, we're going to charge you, I don't even know what the rate would be, because this is actually a niche that I feel like there's not really any really great competitors in yet. But if someone was to say, hey, it's, I don't know what a fair price is, $500 to fulfill these for X amount of these, plus here's the cost per shirt, and it must be in, you know, minimum quantities of 20 or 30 shirts or whatever it may be, right? I would much rather pay that expert person to do that, and that'd be $500 a month plus, you know what, maybe another 500 maybe for the shirts for the month. That's $1,000. And then they also can do really cool stuff like, hey, we'll send you videos off our phones of us packing up orders for you, and you can put them on your TikTok and your Instagram reels and your YouTube shorts. Yeah. That's worth so much value to me. And I don't want it to be someone that's selling, you know, soccer apparel or things like that. You want it to be someone that it looks cool and it looks like that's all they do. And it does. It takes a little leap of faith, I think, for any company to do it, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Interesting. Talk about, you mentioned some social media there for a minute. How has social media impacted the growth of your company, being as you're in the design industry and, you know, screen printing is very heavily on, you know, imagery, and there's a huge, most screen printers are on at least Instagram, you know, and one of the things that I've pointed out that screen printers struggle to do is not use screen printing hashtags and promote to other print shops. We all follow each other, but none of us buy from each other because we make it ourselves, you know? But I do think there's a tremendous value in having a presence on social media. So how has that benefited, or maybe not, the growth of Retro Supply Co?
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about your take on that. I tend to agree, and I'm not completely innocent of doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, you do, like, I think it's very tempting, like, to hashtag things like other screen printers or tell stories that screen printers would be interested in. But you're right. Like, you really do have to talk to the customer about it. So for Retro Supply, that has really meant doing a lot of exercises and a lot of surveys we've done, where we will survey a lot of our audience to determine what they want. And then our content is informed by that. And this applies to any business. A great, like, tip that I've learned is from a fantastic book called, it's by Jeff Walker.
Launch?
Launch by Jeff Walker. He has a real simple formula there, and he's essentially like, get a way to contact people. So that can be your social media, or that could be email. And then tell people that you're making something. And then something we do at Retro Supply Lab is we'll just message them and say, what are the top two things that this product must have? And then people respond back. And so now we might get like 500, sometimes 1,000 responses to something like that. Now with ChatGPT, you could just load all these responses into something like ChatGPT and be like, give me a breakdown of what these people are saying. Give me, you know, some top quotes and what they tell you about things. And they will tell you what you want, they want. And then you can use that in social media. So as opposed to, I think it's really cool that you can layer our halftone brushes at different tonal percentages, and they layer seamlessly. We might find that what people really want to know is that we have really good how-to guides so they can get up and running in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you know, okay, I should make content about how-to guides. I should make content showing them how quick and easy it is, not how cool the tonal range of the halftone brushes is. So yeah, finding ways to listen to your customers and then repeat back to them what they keep reiterating to you, I think is important. But I'm curious, how has that played out for you guys?
Well, my perspective has been shifted a lot over the last several years, and it's due to guys like Jeff Walker and Donald Miller with StoryBrand, and you know, these guys that are Daniel Priestley. There's another guy that wrote a book called They Ask You Answer, and there's this big value in your customers are looking to solve a problem that they have. And maybe it's not a problem in the sense of you think a problem being negative. Maybe it's they're looking for this added value or this added benefit. You know, they're looking for apparel for their group, or they're looking for apparel for their business, or whatever it is. They're looking for something soft, whatever they're looking to grow their word of mouth traffic. And so apparel can be a great solution for that. You know, like whatever their actual problem is, they sometimes you can pinpoint that problem and not even mention apparel. And now suddenly they think, oh, you know my problem, you understand it, and you're providing a solution. And oh, I hadn't thought of apparel. Maybe that does provide what I'm looking for. So how that relates with the screen printing is, you know, people enjoy seeing the behind the scenes, but you know, someone who's wanting to purchase items to put on their retail shelves, they don't just want to know that you know how to screen print. If you're a screen print business, they're sort of assuming that part. They're sort of assuming that you know what you're doing. But it's not assumed that you know how to package something for retail, or that you know the requirements that are needed with retail packaging for like private label. You know, you can't just put your logo and rip the tag out. You got to put your logo and the required, you know, the material makeup, the country of origin, the wash instructions. Those sorts of things need to be there. So showing that potential customer, if you're wanting to aim towards the retail market, showing them that you understand how to prepare items for retail and provide them clothes that they can pull out of a box, fold it up, and put it on their shelf, that solves their problem that goes beyond just that they need apparel. They've already decided they need apparel. And so I think that's the trap that, you know, because it's such a cool process, you know, you show a screen printing press like this in the background, people are like, oh, that's sweet. Like, what in the heck is that? You know, they have no idea right. what goes into screen printing. So it's very, very intriguing and very mystical and magical for people to see the behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, they open their wallet when you solve their problem. And so how do we project ourselves in a way that's like, hey, I'm not just a screen printer. I'm the solution that you're looking for. And you may not have known that was apparel. And let me tell you why it is.
That's such a good insight, because you're right. I think if I was looking, say, like for shirts to be fulfilled for me and printed for me and to be like just these super soft, beautiful shirts, if I saw a bunch of videos of people printing on, you know, big screen printing presses and whatnot, that's cool, but that you're right. That wouldn't sell me at all. I'd be like, yeah, I kind of know something like that happens when shirts are printed. I understand you burn screens and all this happens, and that's satisfying to mm-hmm. watch, especially maybe, you know, at night at the end of the day for entertainment. Yeah. But if you're trying to sell me on screen printing, tell me the story of how someone opens up this box and my business looks awesome mm-hmm. and they end up wearing the shirt and they end up wanting to buy from me, or they end up talking about the shirt or tagging me because of the yeah. shirt. And it looks like my shirts are soft and done by someone who really cares. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, it's true. Like when you see like, yeah, you've got all sorts of cool stuff behind you, and I would love to go hang out there and see how it all works. But what would sell me on buying the shirts is a completely different yeah. story. So yeah, I think that's a great yeah. insight.
Very cool. All right. Well, we can kind of start to wrap up, but I want you to just kind of give us an idea of what sort of things come to mind when you think of screen printers coming to Retro Supply Co. What sort of things can you, if they're just sitting there going, okay, well, I haven't been to the website yet, but what would I go there for? What would help me as a screen printer? You mentioned half tones and some distressed layers. I can immediately think of those, but you know, what would encourage them to actually go look at your site? Because my hope is that this brings you some business. So why should they go there? What's going to help them create artwork for apparel?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that a big thing that a lot of people that are screen printing come for is to save themselves time. Just like we were talking about, screen printers are in the business of screen printing, not making textures and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of screen printers in certain industries are going to need distressed looks or halftone type effects on their prints and things like that. If you need that kind of thing and you want to make sure you get high resolution ones that are going to burn well onto the stuff that you're printing, we provide it. Most people that are screen printers will know how to do this. Some won't, but again, like your time is best spent on what you are a pro at. You know, you can bust out amazing shirts and burn screens and do all this stuff super fast. Going into Photoshop and making textures and then doing all these things is just this whole extra thing that may not be worth your time to do. Yeah. And we have it tested, proven, vetted for a variety of different softwares. Another cool thing is that we have resources to get unique effects that might otherwise be hard to do traditionally. So for instance, we have a lot of people that are not hobbyist screen printers, but I suppose artists that do their own screen printing, and they'll get something like, we have a product called Color Lab. Color Lab is essentially emulates four color process printing, kind of like comics, but it also can be used for screen printing too. So you'll have a red layer, yellow layer, blue layer, black layer. The dots are all lined up so they go into the proper screen angles. So you get those beautiful rosettes screen printers are going to appreciate. Yeah. Those are all built into it, and it's designed in such a way that you can color or create the artwork in Procreate or Photoshop or Affinity or Clip Studio. And you can export it out on separate layers. The angles of this, of all of the halftones, are going to be the proper ones. So you get those like beautiful rosettes. Yeah. It's going to look imperfect, so you get that kind of old school feel to it. And you can also show your clients how this kind of stuff looks before it's printed. And it's good enough that when it's printed, we've tested it. We've brought it through various screen printers and had them make stuff. I have it on my walls. Like, actually, check this out. Here's a test print that we did with like a variety of colors using our Color Lab. This was tested for screen printing. This is a real numbered screen print done. Yeah. And if you look really close, I know a lot of people are listening to this, but if you look really close, you can see all of the different layers of the colors. Those were all burned onto screens and printed directly off of the product. And it looks like it's old. It looks like it's old. There's something about it that doesn't look the same as if you just do it with, simple circles.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's really neat. That's a cool tool.
It's really fun. It's like a toy store for screen printers or designers, for sure.
All right, good time. So where can, obviously, people can find Retro Supply Co.? What's the web address, and where else can we follow what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find us at www.retrosupply.co, retrosupply.com. We'll redirect to it too. If you Google us, we'll pop up for all sorts of stuff. You can find us on Instagram with the handle at Retrosupply. And on Facebook, we are Official Retro Supply, I think. Someone's holding Retro Supply hostage for me. Punks. But if you Google us, the true Retro Supply will float to the top.
That's good. You've been around long enough. If you've established a presence in the market, that's for sure. Because like I said, I came across several times. Because as soon as I saw you pop up, we actually, Dustin and I, connected on a business internet business type group. And as soon as he said Retro Supply Co., I was like, I know exactly what that is. And I want to talk to this guy. So easy to find.
That's awesome. Like, doesn't that just make you like, it's great when like you connect with other people that like share the same interests in things.
Yeah.
Especially when someone's like, oh, hey, like I've heard of Retro Supply. Like, it's just like, yeah, it makes you feel like you met an old friend because, you know, if you've seen it a couple years back, you know, and it also means like we share the same interests. Like, we could hang out and probably talk about He-Man's, G.I. Joe's, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Nirvana, all this kind of stuff, right? Yep. For a whole camping trip.
Yeah. I love it. And it's cool that a guy in Portland can start something that a guy in Tennessee has come across several times. And I know we're long past the days of realizing how connected the world can be. But it still just blows my mind that, you know, I'll get a message from someone in another country that says they're watching my videos, and it just blows my mind. It's super cool.
Well, and like the internet, like it has opened up such cool opportunities, or maybe just being in the industry and it's easier to connect. But like, I was in Tennessee for the Creative Works Conference. We sponsored the Creative Works Conference in not Nashville, but what's your guys' other big city?
Knoxville.
Where Elvis is from, Memphis.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. We sponsored that in Memphis. I got to go see Memphis, man. I went to that. I went to Creative South in Georgia a couple times, went down to different parts of Alabama. I'd never been to the South. And you know what? There's so many talented designers, screen printers, illustrators down in the South. And boy, if I hadn't gotten into this business, I wouldn't realize just how much we're getting screwed out of delicious food up here in the Northwest.
Yeah.
You go there, it's like, man, I can't believe when I found out you guys had banana pudding down there, I was like, what's going on here? Why is there like a conspiracy where you guys aren't telling us about this banana pudding or like spreading it, importing it up here to the Northwest?
Hey, for a period of time, the local dairy in my near my hometown had banana pudding ice cream, and it was heaven. It was just glorious. They don't make it anymore. I'm not since I was a kid, but man, and I live in Colorado now, so I couldn't even get it if they did. But man, it was beautiful.
There is something in that culture in the South, man. Like, so people from the South are good people, man. And yeah, they know their food, and the ice cream sounds delicious. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, Dustin, thanks again for joining and kind of telling us about yourself and about Retro Supply Co. I'm excited to follow how you'll continue to grow that business, and hopefully you'll get some business from screen printers watching this. And yeah, just appreciate your time and having a conversation.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jesse. It's great to meet you. Hope we get a chance to talk again. And yeah, thanks to everyone listening.
Sounds great. All right. As you can tell, I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. It was great to sit down and talk with Dustin. He's a fantastic guy. I've always loved Retro Supply Co. and been a fan of the graphics that they create. So it was just a pleasure to sit and talk with him. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. I hope you got some value out of that. I would love to know your thoughts. So be sure and leave a comment and let me know what you think. And be sure you follow Retro Supply Co. and go check out the website and get some graphics from them, because now you know that the guy running it is a fantastic guy. So an opportunity to support him and also have some great tools to do some killer graphics. And that's going to lead to some pretty incredible screen prints. So excited to see what you guys create from that. If you do happen to go to Retro Supply Co., be sure to let me know what you found over there, what you purchased. And if that ends up making it onto something that you're screen printing, I would love for you to tag that. Post a picture, tag Retro Supply Co., tag me. Let us know what you created from the graphics that you got from Retro Supply Co. I think that would be a cool way to feature and promote what Dustin's creating over there. So thanks again, as always, for watching. Love to know what you think. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. Be sure that you go to the website for more content, startupscreenprinting.com. I do have a blog that I keep over there. And then, of course, I've got the email newsletter. If you're not signed up for that, be sure and do that, because they're the first to know about new episodes and new content and new offerings that I'm supplying. Bringing a lot more business content to you in the coming days. And I am also at this point ending the first cohort of my online business course. So if you are looking for an opportunity to dive deep into not only the screen print side of things and how to actually do the screen printing, but also dive deep into how to run a business and how to do the marketing strategy, how to set up business processes, how to really just get established with a solid foundation to run a profitable business, things like pricing, all of that, then I'm about to open the doors for my second cohort of the live course. We ran through 8 weeks of this first course, and the feedback has just been phenomenal. And so I'm making it better and better each time, offering more and more insight. And so I'd love to have you join that course. You can get information and sign up for the wait list at startupscreenprinting.com. You'll find a link under there at the top, resources, and then go to business course, and you can sign up for the wait list there. So, also since the last episode, I have also launched my new store. So if you are looking for templates and other assets, things like proof template, I have my registration template on there. I also have the actual physical on-press registration card that I sell on there. So lots of other things at shop.startupscreenprinting.com. So go check that out, and look forward to more items going up on there. So if there's something missing that you think would be a tool or resource for you, then please let me know so that I can try and source that or create it for you and post it there on the site. But In the meantime, again, thanks for listening. Hope you got some value. Look forward to bringing you the next episode and more of this business content. In the meantime, hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.